Amen. All right, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. If you have your Bibles. Thanks, Trish. I knew that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And as you're turning there, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today and listen to your word, to be encouraged, strengthened, motivated, guided, and corrected. And everything we need, Lord, we know this, it is in Jesus, it is in your word, it's in your Bible. So, Lord, we just, as a church family, we just stand on your word and trust in your word and trust in you. And Lord, help me this morning. And we do lift up our missionaries and our military folks around the world, protecting and serving and sharing the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, this morning, I do have good news for you. I have good news for you. There's a lot of bad news out there in the world, right? If you listen to the news or read this or that, there's just so much negative and so much bad news. But this morning, I want to share some good news with you. So here we go. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Everybody say amen? Now, I'm guessing that most of you know that the word gospel means good news. It's good news because it contains the wonderful message of God's redemption for sinful humanity. And this is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what good news it really is. The gospel, okay, is the heart and the central core of Christian teaching and preaching. Those kids coming from Vacation Bible School, that week, they're going to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy the time. When they leave, they're going to know and hear, especially if we have visitors coming in, you know, they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the English noun gospel comes from the Anglo-Saxon term, and it's called Evangelion. Evangelion. And this word means glad tidings. Okay? Evangelion is where we get the word evangelist from. It's where we get the word evangelical from. If you ever wondered, you know, we're evangelical Christians. You hear that a lot. You think, what does that really mean? Evangelical Christians means this. It means those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Glad tidings is translated from the Greek, which means good message. Okay? Originally, this is kind of cool to me, originally the word gospel was related to the news of a military victory. In other words, after a big battle, long time ago, after a big battle or a big war, and they were victorious, the king would send out a man into the villages and the cities and the surrounding areas, spreading the good news of victory. Now, when the New Testament was recorded, its writers assigned the term gospel to the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? Basically, they were telling the Jews, hey, we don't have to live like this anymore. You don't have to live like this anymore. You don't have to be so worried and concerned about obeying these hundreds and hundreds, actually over 600 rules and regulations. And most of them were made up of a bunch of religious men who were drawing stuff out of the air. You don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to make sacrifices anymore. We don't have to try our best to do works and these kind of things. They were telling them, hey, this is the good news. place your faith in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. We now have victory in Jesus. That was the good news. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have victory in Jesus now. We walk in victory in Jesus. The gospel covers the entire communication of redemption and salvation. Humans have been preaching this. Jesus preached it ever since then. Now, later that term gospel, it was also applied to the four historical records of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was known as the Gospels. These four men are the original evangelists, or we could say the writers of the Evangelion, the Gospels, the good news. I personally believe that's why Paul was such a man of passion, because he knew that he had good news. Amen? Now, the announcing of good news began with an angel proclaiming John the Baptist's birth to his father, Zechariah. Now, as I read this scripture, this thing gives me goosebumps. All right, listen to this. Luke 1:19. Listen carefully. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this angel just, whew, out of nowhere, like Mr. D's butler. Anyway, some of y'all get that. Boom, this angel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." That still goes chill bumps to me. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you. Wow, that's powerful to me. Now, John, we all know John the Baptist was the first to preach the good news. The good news of Jesus, placing your faith in him. Later on, an angel told the shepherds they had good news about the birth of the Messiah, right? The old Christmas story, and these shepherds were hanging out. Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will create and cause great joy for all people." This was good news. Now, after John baptized Jesus, God's Spirit and anointing rested on the Lord. And a few days later, Jesus says this. Ready? One of my favorite scriptures, if I could pick out a favorite, but you know, I've got about 20 or 30 favorites. But Jesus said this. He said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." This is good news. This is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus preached, if you look at this closely, Jesus preached the time had come and the kingdom of God was at hand. It was Jesus. He said, "Repent and believe the good news." The gospel Jesus proclaimed focused on the arrival of God's kingdom. And it was all about Jesus. Through the coming of Jesus to earth, God's rule would be complete. His righteousness was established and his glory was revealed in Christ Jesus. So we are in the kingdom right now, if you really studied that, because Jesus is in us. Jesus is the kingdom. You are citizens of heaven right now. If you're a believer, right? You've been saved, born again. Your name has already been written on the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a citizen of heaven now. We got to see this with your spiritual eyes, right? We're just sojourners. We're just traveling through this whole earth. This is the gospel of Jesus. Now, after the resurrection of Jesus, the gospel was preached by those who had witnessed his life, and today it continues to be preached throughout the world by all of his followers. I'm just not called to preach the gospel. You are called to preach the gospel. Each of you are called to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause right there because I want this to really get in your heart. It's just not my responsibility to get up here behind this big old crazy pulpit thing. Right? It's all of our responsibilities to preach and teach the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It really is. Part of my responsibility as a pastor is to train the ministers to do the work of train the church members to do the works of the ministry. Right? Amen. The gospel is good news because in it we find God's promises for the forgiveness of sin. John testified that Jesus is what? The Lamb of God who takes away what? The sins of the world. Through the gospel, we receive, listen to this, we receive God's power to live a new life. A new life of righteousness in Christ Jesus. Not because of any of our righteousness, we don't have any. It was all about Jesus, all about Him. But He gives us the power to do this. And that word power, if you look it up, that word power means the ability to take action, to get something done. The Apostle Paul sums this up real nicely in Romans. And most of you have heard this before. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Listen closely. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And that's us. That's us. That's the New Testament, the New Covenant, the chosen generation. That's us. We are those that are called to live by faith. And our righteousness is everything to do with Jesus and what He did on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. We completely put 100% of all of our holiness, righteousness, ability to go to heaven, all that's wrapped up 100% in Christ alone and the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It has absolutely nothing to do with what we can do or don't do or should do. Everybody got it? Rest. You find peace in this. You can rest in Christ. Rest in Him. According to the gospel, remember we're talking about gospel. I need a clock back there. According to the gospel, sin separated us from God. And it still does. Except for us. Billy Graham said, the number one problem in the world right now, and this is when he said it, Billy Graham said, the number one problem in the world right now is sin. It's sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, He paid the price and canceled the debt of sin for all who would believe in Him. This is beautiful. For those who call upon the Lord will be saved. Whoever places their faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. Isaiah 53:5 said this. Isaiah 53:5 says, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds we are healed. Amen. The gospel is good news, my friends. It is good news because through faith in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God and brought near to Him in fellowship. We are adopted into God's family. We are born of the Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He, the Holy Spirit, guarantees our heavenly inheritance. That's precious. That's good news. That is good news. If we do fall down, which we will, and we do, don't we? We all make mistakes. We all fall down. But we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He'll forgive us of our cleanse and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's grace. That's love. The gospel is the greatest love story of all time. Amen. What could be more excellent news than its promise of eternal life? Amen. In Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is good news. The gospel is good news because even though we may have trouble in this world, Jesus assured us that He has overcome the world. Amen. John 16:33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me, this is Jesus talking, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Be encouraged. Jesus says He has overcome the world. That's a powerful scripture. And Jesus promised that He would one day come back and take us home. John 14:1-3, which is good news. It's great news, isn't it? Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you and you? And Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me that you may be also where I am. This is good news, isn't it, Mr. Jerry? Like we're going to heaven. Jesus is preparing a place for you. Yes, He is. Not too soon, though, right, Mr. Jerry? Even if it was tonight, I think most of us, all of us, would be happy, right? Absolutely, we would. A lot of people picture, we're talking about heaven. A lot of people picture, not you guys, but, the world. A lot of people picture a dull eternity of harp playing, tea drinking, knitting, and watching reruns of Little House on the Prairie. Now, I'm just joking, but they do. They see this as, real boring and, this real, This is simply not true, and you guys know this. Our minds can't even imagine what God has in store for us. Our little tiny little pea brains, we can't even imagine what God has in store for eternity and for us. Wow, this is good news. This is good news. Nothing can match the glory of this heavenly realm that the Bible talks about. And this is the home where Jesus went to prepare a room for you, Danny. Amen. This is good news. This is great news for me. If Jesus comes back tonight, if He comes back tomorrow, will you be ready? Are you ready? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Ask Jesus now to save you. Ask Him. Repent of your sins, which means change your mind about how you are living your life. Turn to God and place your faith in Jesus Christ, and He will change your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, the best way we know how, really, we love You and we thank You. Thank You for sending Your Son to die on a cross for us. Father, if someone's listening to this on the internet and they want to get saved and give their life to Christ, they just simply say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, I turn from my wicked ways, and I place my faith in You. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and I ask God to come into my heart and change me. In Jesus' name, Father, if there's someone here this morning, as we sing the song of offering, they've never made a decision to do that, let that be today. They come down and I'd be glad to pray with them. In Jesus' name, amen.